Hi, this is Ned Ryan, President of American Majority. In the last podcast, I discussed the first goal of a campaign strategy, which is to make sure voters know your name, character, and overall message. In this podcast, I want to discuss the second goal of a campaign strategy, which is to define your opponent in such a way that voters who you most want to persuade to vote for you would not vote for him or her. In short, defining your opponent before he or she defines you. Now, note the careful wording of this goal. To define your opponent in such a way that voters who you most want to persuade to vote for you would not vote for him or her. There's a very real difference between defining your opponent and smearing your opponent. Defining deals with facts about how your opponent either legislates or will legislate based on their his or her views. Smearing is often a personal mudslinging mess that often steps over the bounds of professional decency. In addition to not being a very civil thing to do, smearing serves very little purpose, as you would catch as much backlash from your smear campaign as you would gain. It is also not about convincing your core supporters that they should not vote for your opponent. They should already be with you. If they're not, you'll be doing something else besides serving in office after Election Day. This podcast is about designing campaign strategy that will effectively reach those voters who you need to convince to vote for you. In so doing, you will need to define your opponent and contrast your views on carefully chosen issues, all in a way that is not offensive or mean-spirited. This is not an easy task, and I don't want to suggest that it is, but it's something you're going to have to do if you want to win. The first and perhaps most critical step is to select the right campaign issues to pursue. These are the issues to focus on in the process of encouraging a person to vote for you who would otherwise be voting for your opponent. In summary, these voters will include those who, while members of the opposing political party, might be persuaded to vote for you on the basis of a particular issue. For example, if you're running as a pro-life Republican against a pro-choice Democrat, how do you persuade pro-life Democrats to vote for you? It's kind of the whole Reagan-Democrat issue. Reagan had a lot of lifelong Democrats voting for him because they agreed with him on issues like life and national defense and size of government. I throw this topic out to make a point that there are going to be people in the opposite party who agree with you on some issues. The question is, how do you persuade them to vote for you, even if they disagree with you on half the issues? I'd also say that the group you're reaching out to includes those people without a party allegiance or firm conviction who make up the uninformed or the undecided. The squishy middle. And yes, I mean the squishy middle. The issues most likely to motivate people to vote for you, who would otherwise not be inclined to, are well known. These have in recent years included abortion, gun rights, homosexual rights, radical feminism, radical environmentalism. These are, of course, necessary issues to address as many people vote on these issues, with little consideration for any other issue. However, because of these issues surfacing time and time again, your opponent will likely be prepared with a stock answer on these issues for anything that your campaign might throw against him or her. To utilize these issues, you're going to have to work carefully to define your opponent's views. But these common dividing issues are not the only ones you should consider. In identifying the issues to be addressed, it's helpful to consider what issues your opponent deems to be the most critical. Look at his or her written materials, website, etc., to see what his or her positions are. Don't give up easily. Every candidate has an issue that you can define to your advantage. By utilizing these issues, you can box your opponent in. In other words, a politician can't hide very well from an issue if it is one of his own or her own choosing. Your job as the opponent is to find the weak issues of your opponent, highlight them, define him or her with them, and keep attacking on those weak issues until you define the opponent for who he or she is. While these issues are often the major moral or social questions mentioned above, you shouldn't overlook the more mainstream issues. In fact, these mainstream issues could prove to be the most important. These issues would include such things as deficit spending, healthcare, or defense. You have to assume in this whole situation of trying to define your opponent that your opponent is no dummy. He or she is not very often going to just willy-nilly give you any issue you need to help define them in a way that you want them to be defined. His or her statements are likely to be put in the least offensive manner, offering the best possible light on the subject. Now, defining the more common issues to your advantage, abortion, guns, etc., requires a very careful parsing of what your opponent actually says. This is one of the reasons why it's so important to keep newspaper clippings and make printouts of your opponent's website. You need to know exactly what he or she has said. Another helpful exercise in this regard is to consider what interest groups are part of your opponent's coalition and what those views are for those groups. See if they give your opponent political action committee money. For instance, if the National Abortion Rights Action League, NARAL, has made a donation to your opponent, it's hard for that person to claim he or she is pro-life and yet take money from an outfit like that. A fact like this can redefine your opponent's claim to being pro-life into he or she says they are pro-life, but he or she takes money of those who would not only expand the availability of abortion, but would make you pay for it. Who gives to your opponent will help you define your opponent. However, remember this, whoever gives to you will also define who you are as a candidate. As with anything in life, it is actions, not words, that speak the loudest. And if your opponent is claiming to be pro-life or pro-traditional marriage or pro-defense or whatever issue, but is accepting money from interest groups that believe the exact opposite, you can highlight these facts and use them to your advantage. Now, it's important when studying your opponent's positions to take note of any wiggle words, exceptions, or waffling your opponent makes in regards to issues. For example, on the issue of, let's say, gun control, if you're against it, see what your opponent's actual words are. If he or she says something like, "I do not support placing additional restrictions on the ownership of firearms," you might well be able to redefine this position into your opponent refusing to support the repeal of existing laws restricting the ownership of firearms. It's your job to do opposition research and find the issues to define your opponent with. And once you've found the issues and have the research to back up your claims and make them rational attacks, go on the offensive. Keep your opponent on his or her heels. Make sure you have enough issues that you can be constantly on the attack from as many different angles as possible. Next week, I'll discuss how you can use earned media to get your campaign message out.